There's the music, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of Raider Rap. Good morning, everybody. I'm Dusty Budd, sports director at KYMN Radio. We got a fun show lineup for you this morning. We're going to be talking with representatives from the Northfield Raider Alpine Ski Team. I've got a representative from the boys' team and the girls' team, and we're going to learn about their season up to this point and some of their goals, expectations, what they hope to accomplish as they progress through the skiing season here. And then after that, we'll do a recap of how some other Raider sports have done over the holiday break. Lots of sports were in various tournaments, and then they come back to school this week and just got right back into the schedule. So we'll recap those teams as well. But right now, before I get into that, I've got a couple of representatives, Sam Hegseth and Franny Brayland from the Alpine Ski Team. I'm going to bring them on right now and say, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Sam, we'll start with you. Brief recap of how the boys' Alpine Ski Team has done so far this season.
I'd say we've done pretty on par for what we've done last year. I wish we could do a little bit better, but all in all, I'm pretty satisfied with what we're doing.
Okay. Same question over to Franny. The girls' team, how have you guys been doing this year?
We're doing pretty good. We've been finishing races, making it down the hill. Our times are pretty good. We're racing pretty consistently, so I think we're doing pretty well.
Okay, and I want to ask, how are the numbers, Franny? If you can talk about the numbers and the chemistry that you're building with this team this year with the girls' team.
Yeah, so we've got a pretty small team. I think there are 10 or 11 girls.
Okay,
so we're pretty tiny. We've got a few new girls, and they're having fun. But we've really been building up to this year, I feel like.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I'm a senior, but really, really, we're really working together this year, and it's really nice because it's pretty open. Anyone can talk to anyone. It's fun. We have fun. We like to race, so everyone's just out there having fun doing their thing.
That's the key, having fun. That is what it's all about. Sam, same question, the boys. Can you talk about the chemistry there and the makeup of the boys' team?
I'd say we have a pretty good chemistry. We're all really close friends. We all try to give each other tips on how we can each be better. And, we're more than just teammates. We're really, really good friends. We hang out a ton. I'm on a bunch of other sports, and no other sport am I so close with my teammates. Mm-hmm. It's really great. And then as far as our season, I'd say, like, we've got a pretty good chemistry, not just off the ice. Not ice, snow. Mm-hmm. and we're being pretty consistent with what we're doing.
How's the competition, Sam, between you and your team and the girls' team there? Is there a friendly competition there? Does it get pretty heated sometimes, or you guys get along pretty good?
We get along pretty good.
Okay.
It can get heated, quotation marks, sometimes. But yeah, we're same thing with boys and girls. We're all pretty good friends. We all hang around with each other off the snow too.
All right, Franny, I ask this question every year, but we might have some new listeners. Explain and set up an Alpine ski meet and what that all entails.
Oh, boy. Okay. Usually the boys and girls will race on two separate courses, and then we'll switch after we go down the first time. So each person gets two runs on a different course, and it's really just set the course, inspect it. Everyone goes down.
Will everyone get time? Those two runs, doesn't matter how long those two runs are, or do you have to hit a certain time for you to actually be judged and for points and qualifying?
Yeah, so usually with conference races, you can race like your top eight varsity, but only top six get counted.
Got it.
So you can lose a few if you have to.
Sam, we talked a little bit off the air, but the snow and the weather in Minnesota these last couple of years has just been just crappy for alpine ski, Nordic ski, guys, you know, feeling the effects of the lack of snow. We get snow, and then it goes away in 2 days.
Yeah.
You know? It's got to be frustrating. But, you know, what do you guys do? So, obviously, you guys are racing on fake snow mostly, but what are some good courses in where you guys race that, I guess, I don't know if all artificial snow is the same, but a good course to race at that you and the rest of the team really seem to enjoy.
Like say a hill or different kind of snow.
Yeah.
Like, we did an invitational, which is an all day meet at Wild Mountain. And I really enjoyed it. The snow was not ideal, but the actual run itself, the hill was really nice. It had a bunch of different, there's like a pitch, which is more of a incline, and then you have flats. And it had a nice combination of those qualities. Also, look out at Welch is pretty nice to race on, yeah.
Sounds good. Franny, same question to you. Some of your favorite courses to ski at?
I think what Sam said, Lookout is really our thing. It's our home course, and I think we just feel comfortable. We can kill it there.
All right. Very good. Are you required to be able to do black diamonds to join the Alpine ski team? No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
So me that can barely get down the bunny hill, would I still be welcome on the Alpine ski team?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tried it, guys, and then I had some friends that were skiers, and they do those black diamonds, no problem. I'm assuming you guys both could do a black diamond if you need to. Yeah, right.
Okay. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah. I want to get there at some point. I am getting there. I'm not as scared now as I'm older. It's not as scary to go down that hill. And if you wipe out, hey, so what? You know, just everybody. Most of the times, people will come and help you up and everything like that. So nice. Again, we're speaking with Sam Hegseth and Franny Brayland, representative from the Alpine Ski Team. Franny, let's ask you, how long have you been on the Alpine Ski Team, and what made you want to get involved with the team?
This is my fourth year. I think I came into it my freshman year. I was on a club team my eighth grade year, and I met a lot of the girls who were in my grade, but they were already on the high school team, and they talked about high school season and what it was like, and my sister was on it before me, so I think I was like, wow, I was seeing all these people talking about it, and it sounded fun, and I was like, yeah, I can race more during my school year, so I was like, hey, I'm going to do it.
I'm in. Absolutely. Great. Sam, same question. How long have you been with the team, and what made you involved in skiing and want to be a part of it?
Very similar story. So I've been on the team for about 5 years, I think, since seventh grade. And I, too, was also on a club team before, racing for Welch for a couple years before I joined the high school team. And I had a friend who was already on the team, Ashton Croy, and he talked me into it, and it was definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I don't regret anything. It was really great.
Is there any fun pre-meet rituals that you guys do, whether it's cheers or something like that? Sam, can you talk about that a little bit?
So we pride ourselves. So the last, 5 years that I've been here at the Welch Invite, which is another all-day race, which we're going to have another next Friday, we've gotten the Spirit Award, is it 2 or 3 times?
At least? Yeah.
So, yeah, we're a pretty spirited team, and last year we went over to a teammate's house, and we made 2-2s, which is kind of embarrassing for me to
admit. Oh, no, man. It's all fun. It's all in good fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. And then the other captain, Caroline Pritchard, dresses up in a cow suit every year, and we all jump around and scream, and we get the Raider flag, and we run it all around the hill, and it's a blast.
Awesome. And representing your home course, too.
Of course, in the process.
Definitely. All right. That's great. Again, we're speaking with Sam Hegseth and Freddie Braylon from the Alpine Ski Team. And guys, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, I guess, Freddie, I'll ask you, you know, you're a senior this year. So what were kind of some of the goals and expectations that you and some of the other upperclassmen on the team have set for the team?
I think that this year we really wanted to focus on inclusion, getting everyone together, keeping it positive, bonding as much as we can. So reaching out to everyone, really, anyone who isn't talking to someone, anyone who's just sitting alone. We've done a really good job. I think that we have some really great people on this team. So it really comes easily, which is nice, that we can just flow together. And then just finishing races, getting better at skiing.
Okay. I'll ask Sam this question, and then Franny, I'll ask you the same question. What is your goal, your individual goals this year? Is there a certain course where you want to get a certain time, or just a certain time in general? Mm-hmm. What are some things you're shooting for this year, Sam?
Big goal for certain is all-conference.
Okay.
It was close the last 2 years, but hopefully this is the year. Otherwise, as far as a boys' team goal, is to just improve as a team. We've got a couple seniors. I'd like to see them have a good time at sections. I'd like to see them do good at conference.
Okay.
Have a love for skiing when they leave.
Absolutely.
Be better when they came in, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Great way to put it. Absolutely. Franny, same question to you. Some of your goals and times that you're trying to hit, or what you want to accomplish on the hill this year?
Yeah, I think me personally, I would love to break 40. at Mount Cato for sure, but okay. possibly at Welch too, just because I've been hanging out there for like a consistent 2 years. So okay. I'm senior year, I want to do it. For me personally, that's about it, I think.
Okay. So, what are some of your favorite teams to go up against? And I know a lot of times you rarely have, correct me if I'm wrong, but you rarely have a dual meet, you guys against another school. It's usually five or six schools at the meet, you know, at the same time. So who are some of your favorite schools and competition to go up against, Sam?
It's always fun to go up against Hastings, the other Raiders.
Okay.
And because they're always pretty strong. They're also really nice people, too, I'd say. I kind of like going up against Rochester, especially since there's this one boy who I go back and forth with. Okay. Every other race, he wins one, I win. Just us two.
Yep.
Not that good. but, yeah, those are probably my two favorite teams to go against.
Franny, same question. If it's the same answer, that's fine. But some of your favorite teams to go up against.
Yeah, I think Hastings is for sure one of our, like, for sure. We've always had friendly competition with them. They've always been the other Raiders. But, I think Rochester is pretty fun, just because for me personally, a lot of their skiers are at my level, so I can really not compare, but see where I am.
Yeah.
With these other skiers that are kind of in my pool.
Okay.
So Rochester, Hastings, that's it.
Those are the ones that go?
Yeah.
Sure, that's fine. And you guys, Northfield is a co-op team with Cannon Falls and Red Wing. Mm-hmm. Do you have representatives from both those schools on the team this year?
Yep.
Can you talk about them a little bit and how that kind of, you talk about that inclusion thing, Franny. Talk about a little bit about that, having two different schools, but you're all on a team for Northfield here, mm-hmm. and that aspect a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We really love our teammates from out of Northfield. We all ride the bus together, of course, and that's mm-hmm. like a huge like time for team bonding, communicating, talking about things, and so they miss out on that, which is really unfortunate. But once we get to the hill, and they're usually there before us, and we see them, and we're like, "Hey, how's it going?" We catch up, and it's like it's really like they've been there the whole time. Mm-hmm. So they're missing out on some things, but like they're really we really want them to be there, and we love having them there. So they're just, we like them.
So, yeah. Sam, same question as with the, do you have representatives on the boys team from Cannon Falls and Red Wing? And
yep, so we have one boy from Cannon Falls and really good skier. Really, really good skier. Really nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have too much else to say. He's
part of the team. He's one of the boys.
One of the boys.
Absolutely. Great. Great. Here we're speaking with Sam Hegseth and Franny Braylon. And guys, you know, it's always been difficult, as I mentioned earlier, with the weather. But I want to ask, what do you guys do when sometimes the weather, obviously, you know, we're in 40s as we're looking at it right now. But what are some things you do to try to stay positive mentally when you go into a race, knowing that the snow might not be ideal? Do you do any mental preparation or what do you do to kind of keep that positivity up, Sam, when you know that the snow might not be as fun as it could be if there was real snow?
I think I just adapt and I try to just deal with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not much else you can do. You can't just change the weather like that. You can maybe get some more snow, but that's really up to the hill. But yeah, okay. There's not a ton you can change.
All right. Franny, same question. That kind of keeping that upbeat attitude, knowing that the snow might not be ideal for meets.
I think it's a lot of preparation, especially when we're racing. It's going through the course, making sure you know it. And then talking to your fellow skiers, you know, mm-hmm. really figuring out what they want, what they're going to do, what you could do, focusing on how you adapt and what you can change, what you need to change in order to be where you want to be with your racing.
Okay. And another question that I want to talk about is skiing seems like one of those sports, along with the cross country, swimming and dive, et cetera, where if a competing skier races a really good time or does really well, do the other teams and other skiers, you know, go up and, you know, give them a high five, him or her a high five, and compliment them for a great race? Or is it, shucks, I want to be that person that's doing that? How does that camaraderie work in the sport? I think skiing, it's a good camaraderie sport, Sam. What are your thoughts on that?
Are you talking like from a different team?
Yeah, exactly. So a guy from Hastings runs a really great race, or that's his best PR that he's had or something like that.
Yeah.
How do you guys respond to that?
For sure. Usually we... we give them a high five. We're pretty sportsmanship team. But it really depends on the attitude of the other skier. Like,
okay.
We've had a couple guys who've been really good, but they haven't been really gracious about it. And those are not the people we like to strive to be. But
fair enough.
Usually, big old high five.
Yeah.
Big old when the guy. runs a 29 and everyone else. Yeah,
that's worth a high five.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, just a couple more questions here before we wrap up the interview. Again, we're speaking with Sam Hegseth and Franny Brayland, representative of the Alpine Ski Team at Northfield High School. And Franny, I got a question for you. You're a senior.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, any plans for next year at this point? Do you know, or?
I am not 100%, but I'm looking at just taking a year off,
taking a
gap year, and then I'll head into college. I'm looking at a journalism program, something in writing.
Okay.
So.
Very good. And, you know, I guess, guys, as the season progresses here and you guys wind it up coming up February, Sam, if I heard you right, you have a big meet, the Welch invite, another Welch invite this coming Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, sounds good. So we'll definitely be recording your results and everything for that. We like to follow you guys. I try to do the best to get your results and promote it here on the show. So I want to ask, as the season moving forward, Sam, and I think this is kind of generally the same question I asked a little bit earlier, but, you know, what you want to see out of the team as you've seen them, you've had a few meets now, you see what the team kind of brings to the table. What do you want to see? What do you want to see out of these guys as you progress through the rest of the season?
I mean, I think they would agree. I think just steady improvement is good. We're not looking for like instantly overnight someone's a Lindsey Vonn or whatnot, mm-hmm. but for sure more consistent times, getting a little bit faster, maybe finishing runs, because it's kind of tricky if you miss a single gate or you ski it, you hit some gate, you're either minute gets added on to your time or like you're just done.
Okay.
It's kind of finicky like that, so finishing runs is a big thing, yeah.
Sounds good. Franny, same question to you and the girls' team.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see our top skiers helping out, they still are, but like really sharing advice, I think, is what I was going for.
Communication.
It's really helpful when we can reach out and help each other, and I think we're really good at that, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's really nice when we can share helpful skiing tips and really get better because of each other.
Right.
That's really nice. And
it's got to make you feel good. I think this is both you being both upperclassmen. When you do give that advice to some of the younger skiers on the team, and then you see them go out and perform what you kind of told them, like, hey, be prepared for this, and then they do well. That's got to make you guys feel good knowing that, yes, this is what we're talking about. That's what a team is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a team is. We help each other out. So I love it. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Good luck the rest of the season. Let's get some snow for you guys. I like snow,
yes,
too,
please.
You know? I want some snow. Come on, Mother Nature,
we'd
need snow.
Love that. Yes.
All right. So, guys, again, thank you for coming in. Good luck rest of the year. Welch invite coming up this Friday. Big ski meet for the Raider Alpine Ski Team. And again, we follow you guys every Saturday morning. I'm here and I'm reading your results. So keep up the good work and thank you for coming in. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
That's Sam Hegseth and Franny Brayland from the Alpine Ski Team. We'll take a quick break and be right back right after this.
For your next haircut, here's a thought. Try Family Hair of Northfield. They're locally owned and operated. Family Hair offers friendly service at a great price. Located just across the parking lot from Just Food, Family Hair does cuts, perms, coloring, everything hair. No appointment is needed. Just walk right in. Christy, Megan, and their staff are great at what they do at prices you can't beat. If you have younger kids, they'll love the special kids seat with their choice of movies to watch while they get their hair cut. Visit Family Hair of Northfield.
Join Jeff Johnson, Terry Knight, and Tim McNiff on the KYMN Morning Show weekdays 6 to 9 here on 95.1 The One.
And welcome back, everybody, to Raider Rap. Let's go ahead and recap some other Raider sports that happened in Raiderland this week. Northfield Wrestling claims fifth at Rumble on the Red. With four wrestlers finishing in the top four in their weight classes, Northfield Wrestling claimed fifth out of 56 competing teams at the Rumble on the Red in Fargo, North Dakota. Northfield racked up 129 team points to slide in behind Perham, Apple Valley, Bismarck, and Scott West, while finishing ahead of Waconia, Owatonna, and Moundsview. The Raiders were in third place after the first day of competition on Friday. Chase Murphy finished second in the 106-pound weight class, while Jake Messner snagged second at 113, and Trent Anderson did the same at 132. Drew Woodley also swiped fourth at 138, while Northfield picked up a pair of seventh-place finishes from Ethan Johnson at 152 and Antonio Carter at 285. In the semis, Murphy won by an 8-5 decision against Jamestown's Aiden Braun before falling 3-0 to Owatonna's Blake West, who's ranked number one in Minnesota's Class 3A. Murphy is ranked third in the state at Class 3A. Messner topped Wyzetta's Adam Chern with an 8-0 major decision before losing by major decision 11-3 in the finals to Byron's Maxwell Peterson, while Anderson won 10-5 in his semi against Bismarck St. Mary. Bismarck St. Mary's Drew Styler before he lost to Mankato's West Charlie Pickle by a 5-3 decision. Willie, meanwhile, lost in a 9-4 decision against Delano's Carson Schuette before losing by DQ in the third-place match against Scott West's Tyler Shackle. And I talked with Drew's mom. Sounds like there was the coach for Scott West called out Drew on an illegal slam. And looking back at the tape and talking with the refs, from what I hear, that was not a disqualification move or a move that's worth disqualifying. And the coach for Scott West, like, well, you know, it's early in the season, so it's like at cost Northfield. That Woodley match cost Northfield third place, because that would have been the difference in points between, or fourth place, excuse me, because the difference in points between fifth and fourth was only 3 points, and a win would have been those 3 points. So it would have been, Northfield would have probably finished fourth or right behind the fourth place team, but because of that. So some shenanigans going on by Scott West there, but Woodley, good sport that he is, will be just fine coming in and continuing wrestling the rest of the way. And then Ethan Johnson, he fought back through the consolation bracket all Saturday, in which he won 4 of his 5 matches and eventually topped Bismarck's Brandt Kringley by decision of 3-2 in the 7th place match. Northfield girls basketball falls to Farmington to close St. Olaf Holiday Hoops Classic. In the final game of the St. Olaf Holiday Hoops Classic, Class 4A No. 4 Farmington raced past Northfield 73-44 on Saturday at the Skoglund Center in Northfield. The Tigers leapt out to a 33-20 lead at halftime before continuing to extend their advantage thanks to 16 points from Paige Kinseth, 15 points from Peyton Blandine, and 15 points from Molly Mogginson. The Raiders were led by 16 points from senior center Rachel Kelly. By the way, I want to go ahead and shout out to Michael Hughes and the Northfield News for providing the results of all of these sports. Northfield girls basketball goes cold at Rochester Mayo. Whenever Northfield girls basketball needed a shot to fall through Friday night at Mayo, this was yesterday, it seemed the ball always caromed off the rim instead. The Raiders shot 34% from the floor and just 8 of 28 from behind the arc in a 57-50 defeat, its fourth in a row. The Spartans have now won 6 in a row. Head coach Tony Matheson says, quote, "We had opportunities and we had looks. It was just one of those nights where the ball didn't go in as often as we needed it to." Still, Northfield was able to erase a 27-21 halftime deficit and take the lead at 1 point in the second half. Northfield is now 5-6 overall, 5-3 in the Big Nine Conference. Northfield boys basketball wins its bracket at Rochester Rotary Holiday Classic with win against St. Croix Prep. A near-perfect performance from the field by senior forward Mitch Stanchina paced Northfield boys basketball to an 82-61 victory against St. Croix Prep this last Friday at the Rochester Civic Center. Stanchina's game-high 28 points on 13 of 14 shooting from the floor provided the Raiders with the title in its 4-team bracket at the Rochester Rotary Holiday Classic after they opened with a 77-74 victory against Lourdes in the first game of the tournament on Thursday. Head coach Andy Birkbaum says, quote, "He probably beat them down the floor 4 or 5 times, and we passed it up to him. We didn't dribble the ball, and we've been working on that, moving the ball and passing it up the court." One of the Raiders feeding Stanchina was senior forward Mason Zig, who racked up 7 assists in the second half, in addition to his 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 steals. Birkbaum went on to say that we had to talk about sharing the ball because Zick took too many shots on Thursday, and I want him to be more of a playmaker. When he is, he's a great passer, and he still got his shots and got some really good shots. Still, even with the second-half surge, Zick wasn't the leading assist man for Northfield. That title belonged to senior guard Blake Christensen, who racked up 12 assists to go along with his 5 points. Sophomore guard Kip Shetnin, who Birkbaum said has been his steadiest player all year, scored 12 points on 6 shots and dished out 5 assists, while senior center Jackson Schlack brought in 10 rebounds and scored 8 points, while sophomore guard Carson Clay scored 9 points and snatched 5 rebounds. And then the boys' basketball team was back in action this last Thursday, a couple of days ago. Despite a handful of uncharacteristic misses around the basket, the boys' basketball team was able to hold off Rochester Mayo long enough to secure a 72-66 victory Thursday night at Northfield High School. After senior forward Michael Imes converted a layup with 6 minutes, 7 seconds left in the game to put Northfield up 59-47, it didn't make another field goal the rest of the way. But even as the Spartans stormed back with a steady diet of three-pointers from junior twin brothers Gabe and Mason Madsen, the Raiders were able to play tough enough defense and convert enough opportunities at the foul line to provide Rochester Mayo with its first conference loss of the year. Northfield now with the win is 6-2 overall, 4-2 in the Big Nine. Girls hockey falls to Lakeville North to conclude Louis Schmidt's Holiday Classic. Despite a pair of 5-on-3 opportunities and 10 total penalties called against Lakeville North, Northfield girls hockey was unable to put a puck in the back of the net last Friday at Farmington at the Schmitz-Mackey Arena in his final game of the Louis Schmitz Holiday Classic. Lakeville North, meanwhile, converted on one of its 2 power play opportunities to lift itself to a 2-0 victory. Head coach Brent Bielenberg says they were playing aggressive and the power play is hard in the third game of 3 days. They were just pressing us hard and we tried to recover and have Kate Boland create some stuff on their own, but you have to give them credit. They pressured hard on the penalty kill. Boland, a senior defender, was the most useful tool moving forward for the Raiders, but the Panthers were able to shepherd her toward the corners or keep her drifting near the blue line for the most part. That allowed Lakeville North to take the lead 11 minutes, 6 seconds into the second when Katie Dahl scored on the power play before Olivia Matisse put in the second goal, 5:55 into the final frame. The Panthers registered a 25-18 advantage in shots. After that tournament, the girls' hockey team back in action this week. The girls' hockey team wasted little time dispatching Rochester John Marshall this last Thursday, a couple days ago, at the Graham Arena Complex in Rochester, where the Raiders racked up 3 goals in the first period and another trio of scores in the second in a 7-2 victory. Freshman forward JoJo Taylor started the scoring only 1 minute, 21 seconds into the game, off an assist from senior defender Kate Boland, before sophomore Martha Sorensen quickly made it to 2-0 lead after 3:31, once again with a helping hand from Boland. "We started off well," Coach Brent Bielenberg said. "I thought we came out good and we needed to do. It's hard coming in when you come back to school and kids are getting their legs back. We're still down a couple of kids with injuries and stuff, so we don't have our full squad, but the kids that came up played well and did their job well." Sophomore Anna Tritch provided the final goal of the opening period with an assist from 8th grade forward Tovi Sorensen. The Raiders are now 11-8 overall and 9-0 in the Big Nine. Northfield's back in action today. It hosts Mankato West at 3 p.m. at Northfield Ice Arena. Gator boys swimming and dive. Even after losing the first 2 varsity events, Northfield Power passed Farmington 95-86 while still forfeiting the final race of the evening. Head coach Doug Davis says, quote, "I knew this was going to be our toughest competition. There was a conceivable possibility that we lost this meet, and I would have been happy if we swam well because they have that kind of a team. They're very strong and very fast. The way these guys stepped up to the plate, responded to the challenge, and decided they weren't going to let this blemish the possibility perfect season is encouraging." Senior Ethan Schaefer won in the 200-yard IM. Andrew Becker sped to the first in the 50 free. Junior Marcus Houck claimed the title in the 100 butterfly. And senior Josh Beamer, junior Bryce Malika, junior Dylan Smishek, and sophomore Eric Larson sprinted to first in the 200 freestyle relay. That helped lift the Gators over the Tigers. The 400 freestyle relay didn't win on Thursday night, though. As an illustration of the speed Farmington brought to town, the Tigers broke the pool record at Northfield Middle School by a little under 3 seconds to win the race. Northfield's top 2 divers in Oscar Hannafil and Nick Boreen were both absent Thursday due to the holiday break, while Farmington was down a couple of its top athletes as well. That didn't lessen the ramifications of the performances in the pool or take away from how important Davis views the opportunity to go up against a team with that kind of speed. "It's tough to meet over Christmas break because you'll have some guys gone with vacation, but we love swimming each other and it's the one place where it fits into both of our schedules," Davis says. Our boys really rose to the occasion and won some close races when they needed to. And we'll wrap up with boys hockey. Boys hockey last Saturday were in a game. The first surprise came before the game for Devin Jarek when the senior forward was informed by his line mate, sophomore forward Carson Van Zylen, that he was a mere 2 points away from the 100th in his career. Then in the second period Saturday of an 8-1 victory against Austin, Jarek was delivered his second shock. After Jarek scored the first goal of the game, after 1 minute 32 seconds of the game, senior forward Garrett Sawyer tapped in a power play goal in the second period. Then, to Jarek's surprise, it was announced over the speakers he earned an assist on the play and picked up career point number 100. Jarek says, "I actually had no clue that it was my assists. Then they told me and I knew it was my 100th point. It was kind of cool to hear them announce it over the speaker and look at my parents to see they're excited." Jarek added a second assist in the third period and will have plenty of time to continue to build on that career number with only 10 games in the books so far this season. Head coach Mike Lovecraft says he's one of those guys that earned that exclusive club. 100 points, that's a lot of points in high school hockey. That means you're, for the most part, staying injury-free and offensively successful. We're 10 games into the season, so just 40% with another 15-plus playoffs, so who knows what that number could be. And the Raiders had a game on Thursday. In Thursday's 7-1 victory against Henry Sibley at Northfield Ice Arena, forward Carson Van Zylen racked up 2 goals and 5 assists to tie the program record for points in a single game with 7. Devin Jurek actually did that earlier in the season, a 7-point game earlier on in the year. So congratulations for the Raider boys hockey team. As they continue to build on their season, the Raiders are now 6-4 overall and 4-2 in the Big Nine. All right, that's going to do it for Raider Rap. I want to thank my guests from the Alpine Ski Team, Sam Hegseth and Franny Braylon, for coming in and talking to me a little bit about the Alpine Ski season and their goals and expectations. Sounds like a pretty good team, and we'll love reading their results here on Raider Rap every Saturday. Glad to be back after taking the holidays off. Hope everybody's excited to be back sort of in the grind, in the fold, and get back things to normal. And we're all doing our New Year's resolutions, right? Everybody's still on pace for that? I'm not, but that's another story. So that's going to do it for Raider Rap. Have a great day, everybody.